God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Near the end of his life, Johnny Cash had a dream. A real dream, the kind of dream that happens when you're asleep. And in this rather bizarre dream, he was at Buckingham Palace. And the Queen spoke to him and referred to him as a thorn tree and a whirlwind. It was an odd dream, and it was an odd image. And he pondered what it must mean. The image wouldn't leave him alone. A thorn tree in a whirlwind. What does that mean? Well, for him, I think it signified a powerful force of nature stripping off the thorns of this world, stripping off the thorns from us. And Johnny was intrigued by this image in his dream. And as a man of faith, he began digging into the scriptures to see if he could find some biblical source or parallel. Well, he began in the book of Job, but where he found this dream or vision most strongly reflected was in the book of Revelation. The imagery there in the book of Revelation was complex and strange and dreamlike. And Johnny didn't understand every image or reference in Revelation, just like we don't always understand everything we see in our dreams. But what Johnny found in his journey through the book of Revelation was a vision, a compelling vision, a vision of the end of all things, a vision of a powerful force stripping the thorns off of this world, a vision that he could only express in the best way he knew, in song. And the result of this dream and of this journey through scripture was that at the very end of his life, Johnny Cash wrote and recorded what, for my money, is his greatest song ever, When the Man Comes Around. Now, if you have never heard When the Man Comes Around, I strongly suggest that you go home and listen to it. But I will warn you that it is not a song that tries to tell a story. It is a song that tries to show you a vision. It is a song filled with lots of biblical references and images, mostly from the book of Revelation. And you may not get or understand them all, and that is okay. Because it's not supposed to be a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end like some songs. You don't have to understand it all to appreciate the vision. But what is fascinating about this song is that it is written and sung by a man very near the end of his life. And he is singing about the end of all things, the end of the world. And yet, despite all of this talk about death and destruction and judgment, in his voice and in his music, you hear hope. The tempo is upbeat, and there is this sense of joyful expectation in this song about death and destruction and judgment and the end of the world. That is how Johnny Cash interprets the book of Revelation. Well, I have to tell you, that is not how I was originally taught to read the book of Revelation. Revelation has usually been presented to me as a scary book, an apocalyptic book of fire and brimstone and mysterious symbols and destruction, a book that you have to be an expert Bible scholar to understand. It's frequently presented as a book of prophecy that details in masked language the end times. You may recall there was that whole Left Behind series that treated Revelation as some sort of blueprint that predicts exactly how God is going to end it all. Well, maybe that isn't the best way to read the book of Revelation. And maybe the fact that we mostly focus on the destruction in Revelation says more about us than it does about God. Because there's a lot more there. The psalmist says that God's wrath endures but the twinkling of an eye, his favor for a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night, but joy comes in the morning. We pay so much attention to the wrath sometimes, but that is momentary. God's favor and grace is what lasts the lifetime. And what we pay attention to in Scripture and what we dwell on, that can say a lot about us. There is so much more to Revelation than doom and destruction. There is worship and praise and singing and new life and new creation. Now that we are in the midst of our Easter season, you are going to be hearing readings from the book of Revelation every week. And I urge you to pay close attention to the image or the vision of eternity that these readings paint. Think about today's readings. Angels surrounding the throne and singing with full voice. Every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth singing. And all the elders fell down and worshiped. Singing and worship. That is the image that we are given in Revelation today. And if you decide, and I encourage you to do so, if you decide to sit down and study the book of Revelation and read through it, challenge yourself to see the whole picture that it is painting. Yes, there is the last trumpet, but there are also angels singing. And yes, there is smoke and fire, but there is also incense and candles. What is the ultimate end that the author wants us to see? What is the real vision? It is the singing and the worship. So maybe the best way to appreciate the book of Revelation is to sing about it. If we really want to appreciate where we are headed as Christians, as people that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, as people that are invited to his table, maybe it should be through song. I've studied the book of Revelation for years, but Johnny Cash really helped me to love it. Hearing an aging man sing about the ultimate end of existence, it helps me to appreciate the vision in a way that the words alone never could. Because the vision that is being painted in the book of Revelation is not that God is just destroying things. He is stripping the thorns off, that's for sure. But this isn't just destruction. God is creating a new reality. He is setting things right that have gone wrong. He is bringing his children home, and he is doing it in song. God's children were made, created to sing around his throne, and finally that is what they are getting to do. They are singing around his throne. And you can't just tell that story. You need to sing it. And now you might be sitting there thinking, well, country music is not my thing, but don't worry. That's a shame, but don't worry. Johnny Cash was not the first person to realize that Revelation needed to be sung. In fact, there is quite a long tradition in the church of singing about the vision in the book of Revelation. If you've ever been to a traditional Requiem Mass, there is this song, this sequence called the Dies Irae. Well, it's basically the medieval Latin version of When the Man Comes Around. And it has been set to music by some of the best composers in the history of the world, including, most famously, Mozart. And if you sit down and read the words to it, it may seem severe, especially by our standards these days. But it wasn't written to be read. It was written to be sung. And when you hear it sung, you get a vision of the beauty of what God is doing that the words alone can't convey. It's because music touches a part of us that words alone can't. That is why music is such an important part of worship. It touches us somehow inside, even when we aren't the ones doing the singing. If you've ever been given goosebumps or brought to tears by a song, then you know what I mean. And worship and praise fill a need in us. They feed us in a way that simply nothing else on earth can do. And there is a reason for that. Because that is the way that God has designed us. We, as humans, we aren't just capable of wonder, love, and praise. That is what we were created for. And when all of those thorns of this world are stripped away and stripped off of us, we can finally be what God created us to be, as God created us to be. And we may not need the sun and the stars then, but we will still need music, because there will still be singing. So if you expect to be a part of the heavenly choir someday, you might as well start practicing now. And that is part of why we are here. You know, Mass, it isn't a performance. It's not a lecture. It isn't a social gathering. And it's not a self-help group. It's a foretaste. It's a vision. It's a glimpse of our eternal destiny. Here we are, the children of God, redeemed by the blood of his Son, gathered around his throne, fed at his table, singing his praises. This is worship. And it is like nothing else we do in life, and it feeds us in a way that nothing else can. And you know, like the book of Revelation, you don't have to understand every symbol that is going on in here in order to appreciate the beauty of the vision. And yes, singing is not the only way to praise God, and church is not the only place where God can be worshipped, but worship and praise should be at the core of everything we do here in church. From printing the bulletins, to cooking the food, to mopping the floors, to lighting the candles. Worship and praise are a fundamental part of who we are. That is what Revelation has revealed to us. And that is the vision that we need to show to the world as well. Sure, there is judgment in Revelation. There is pain. Some things are cast down, and you know what? They have to be. Because this is, as Johnny says, Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. All other kingdoms must give away now. But after all that is past, what Revelation shows us is an eternity of worship and praise. That is the real end of all things. That is our real destiny. When the man comes around, that is what the new world is going to look like. We aren't destined for destruction. We are destined for praise.